Let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus, loving Father. We approach your throne of grace just now, and our hearts are filled with thankfulness for the blessings you bestow upon us. And as we listen to the spoken word, I ask that the Spirit would be present with me, loose my tongue, the things that I say would glorify you. Thank you, Father, for being with us just now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you for sharing with us the responsive reading this morning. My sermon title is Into All the World. And of course, the Great Commission is go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we have been commissioned by His grace that we would prepare a people. That's why once a year, we try to do it at least once a year, we'll hold a revival, evangelistic type series of meetings and invite our friends and neighbors, our co-workers and family, to come and be with us. This morning, we're going to share in Holy Communion together. And it's a time when God's people put aside their every difference and we come together and we can wash each other's feet, washing away the alienation, the hurts, whatever it might be. We would be like Jesus. I want you to go back with me this morning with your sanctified imagination, and I want you to picture Christ as He is finishing His work upon earth. And now it's that upper room experience with His disciples. He's standing at the point of transition between two economies. Two great festivals. He, the spotless Lamb of God, is about to present Himself as a sin offering. He would bring to an end a system of types and ceremonies that for 4,000 years pointed to His death. It's the national feast of the Passover for the Jews. It's about to pass away forever. You see, the Passover was ordained to commemorate Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage. Now go back with me, if you will. God calls Abraham to do a special work. He promises him that He's going to make him a great nation. He changes his name from Abram to Abraham, and he's the father, known as the father, one of the fathers of Israel. But for some reason or other, Israel, living in the close proximity of idolatry and what was happening around them, they were soon led astray. And because of their disobedience, God allows them to go into captivity for 430 years. It was a type of chastisement. You know, when we have sons and daughters that are disobedient and disrespectful, sometimes we have to chastise them, don't we? So this is what God had to do with the children of Israel. After the 430 years, and you know the story, God brings them out of Egypt and he works miracle after miracle on their behalf. But before he brings them out, remember there was 10 plagues. Three of these plagues, Israel along with the Egyptians experienced it. But the seven last plagues, God protected Israel once they put that blood on the doorpost. It was only the people of Egypt who experienced it. And as God worked miracles, he brought them, remember, he brought them to the Red Sea, or brought them to the, is it the Red Sea? And it's almost like they were stuck. And remember, they began to complain. But Moses had the priest stand in the water, and as he stood there, the sea parted, and they walked across on dry land. It's a good story. You need to read it. It'll keep you on the edge of your seat. It's pretty exciting. But it wasn't long in the promised land before, again, they became laxed in their religious experience. They allowed pride and, to possess them. And instead of sharing the message with the nations around them, they took great pride in that God has called us, we're a special people, and they kept it to themselves. And of course, as God taught them, even while in the wilderness for 40 years, he says, let them make me a sanctuary. And everything around that sanctuary pointed to the time when the true Lamb, when Messiah was going to come. And of course, Messiah came. Most of the people did not accept him. They were looking for someone who was going to liberate them from Roman bondage. We're looking for a king that was going to sit on the throne now and rule with a rod of iron. But Jesus had something different in mind, and he began the Christian church. The Jewish people, their time allotted for them to do the work that God had called them to do, because of their failure, when Messiah came, he started the Christian church. And now, just before his death, it was the festival, the Passover was upon him, the festival of the Jews. And Jesus, he institutes the communion service. You see, God had directed that year by year, as the children of Israel would ask the meaning of the Passover, the Israel's history and God's goodness would be repeated to the children. And not just to the children, it would be to the surrounding nations. It would be to their neighbors. But they became laxed. And as Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples, he instituted in its place now the service that was to be the memorial of his great sacrifice. And this wonderful deliverance was to be kept afresh in the minds of all Christian people. And just as God had directed the children of Israel, or the people of Israel, to teach their children when these great feasts came, they were to sit down and they were to share with them God's goodness, God's mercy, share the miracles that God had wrought on their behalf, and they were to teach their children. As a matter of fact, when the children ask us about the communion service, we should take the time to teach them. And in teaching them, we can go back and talk about the Passover, and we can talk about God's goodness to the children of Israel. But now when we talk about the true Lamb that has come, the Messiah has come, and what he has instituted in its place. Ordinance of the Lord's Supper given to commemorate that great sacrifice that Jesus made by dying on Calvary. And this ordinance is to be celebrated until he comes the second time in power and glory. And it means, and is the means by which, you see, his great work is kept fresh in the minds of not just our own people, but we should find opportunity to tell others about the coming of Jesus and what the communion service represents. In fact, Jesus says to us, go into all the world and prepare a people to meet God. And for 2,000 years, Jesus has been waiting for a people who would surrender themselves to him. From Christ's Object Lessons, page 69, it says, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put in his sickle because the harvest has come. Christ is waiting with a longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of God is perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. It is the privilege, our prophet tells us, it is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3, verse 12. We are all to profess his name, bearing fruit to his glory, and how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the last great harvest would be ripened and Christ would come to gather his precious grain. See, we have a work to do, dear hearts. And every time we participate in this service, it is an opportunity that we should move forward by faith, hastening that glad day. Amen? The communion service, you see, like the Passover for Old Testament Israel, the Passover, it pointed forward to the time, when the true Lamb, when Messiah was going to come, when the sacrificial system would come to an end. And the communion service points forward to Christ's second coming. It was designed, you see, to keep the hope vivid in our minds. Did you know that we will, because of our laxness, we will experience the plagues again? They're referred to this time as the seven last plagues. Now, why was there 10 plagues in the beginning and only 7 at the end? The reason being is that just before Jesus comes, we have this promise of the latter rain experience. The latter rain is going to be poured out. Revival is going to take place in our midst. And that's why we have this great hope Jesus is coming again. But it is important that we as a people should be a people of prayer. In our bulletin I see that Wilhelmina has invited, the whole church to get involved in prayer. We want revival to take place in our midst. We want God's Spirit to be poured out. We want to share the message that we have with others. And folks, it is only the Holy Spirit that can convict. And I know that there are sincere people in Aiken County, by God's grace, that he can prompt by his Spirit that they would come out to this series of revival meetings. We want to be like Jesus. And we've as a board, we have taken an action that each Wednesday now, up until the meetings begin, we are going to fast and pray as a people. The fasting could be nothing more than it could be a juice fast, or you might go on, decide that you're going to eat less, but the whole purpose in it is that it's going to allow you the time. You're not going to take advantage of the idle time and waste it. You're going to take advantage of the time and spend it with God in prayer and study his words, inviting the Holy Spirit to be with us to prepare our own hearts. As we move towards the end, and the plagues begin to fall, God protects His people. Unspeakable precious to the disciples was the thought, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. And in dying for sinners, Christ manifested a love that is incomprehensible. And beholding this love, the heart is impressed, the conscience is aroused, and the soul is led to inquire, what is sin that it should require such a sacrifice for the redemption of His victim? Steps to Christ, page 27. He who beholds the cross, he who beholds the Savior's matchless love, will be elevated in thought, purified in heart, and transformed in character. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we will be a light to the world reflecting that mysterious love. Jesus says, If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So I encourage you as a people that you would take it to heart. And you would ask God that He would go with you, look for opportunities. And folks, these opportunities can be right at home. You don't have to travel to some faraway land to do missionary work. It can be done right in our own home, in our own neighborhoods. And as we partake in these emblems this morning representing His spilt blood and His broken body, as we partake in these emblems, we keep afresh in our minds the great love that He has for us, the sacrifice that He made, and the hope that He is coming soon. May God bless us, is my prayer and desire. In His name, amen.